Hello, Dre.
Hi, Peter.
Is the Force with you today?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay, because today we are talking about the soundtrack to the 1977 sci-fi space opera epic Star Wars, retroactively titled Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, composed by John Williams.
Space opera?
Yeah, the general style is referred to as a space opera because it's like grand and epic in scale, like, you know, a classical opera might be.
Okay.
More things to be confused about, right?
I'm learning so much.
Okay. All right. So, as we were discussing before we were recording, all right, we have redetermined. And I say redetermined because I'm sure I knew this at some point, that you have probably only seen a single Star Wars film.
Yes.
Okay, and that was probably The Last Jedi from 2017.
Yes.
Okay, and the reason we think that was it is because that's about the year you think it was, and we would have seen it together.
Right.
Okay, now, Star Wars as an ongoing franchise started with the film whose soundtrack we are talking about today. So, basically, this soundtrack provides the template for every single Star Wars film that follows. Most of this was composed by, and usually conducted by, John Williams, who is, I think it's not unfair to say he is considered to be one of the best film composers in modern history. I was looking up earlier some, you know, accolades or things like that, and I found the American Film Institute's list of 25 greatest film scores of all time. So AFI's list of the best. And in that top 25, there are 3 scores by John Williams alone.
Are they all Star Wars?
They are not. Number 1 on their list is this original soundtrack for the first Star Wars. Also on the list by him are Jaws from 1975. That's at number 6. And the score for E.T. the Extraterrestrial from 1982. And they have that listed at number 14. He's very well regarded, we'll say. At the time Star Wars was produced, a lot of the bigger sci-fi movies of the time had kind of minimalist soundtracks. If we look at this is predating by quite a bit, but The Day the Earth Stood Still, it was kind of a modernist soundtrack. It was very atonal. It was meant to evoke something very foreign, something very alien. And a lot of soundtracks for sci-fi films from that point onward just kind of followed in those steps. By the time we get up to 2001, A Space Odyssey, which was Stanley Kubrick's film, he actually decided he didn't want that kind of soundtrack anymore, and instead he decided to just take existing classical works and incorporate them into his film. So that's the kind of thing that George Lucas was looking at doing for Star Wars. When Steven Spielberg recommended John Williams to George Lucas to do the score for Star Wars, that's kind of the direction that George Lucas was trying to push in. Just take some existing motifs, some existing classical pieces, and work them into the film. Instead, John Williams said, you know what, if we do that, the score is not going to sound entirely consistent. And he felt like the entire film needed to have like a consistency in the music to it from start to finish. So he managed to convince George Lucas to just let him compose something original for the entire movie. He did take a lot of inspiration from prior classical composers. I think he's cited works by Richard Wagner and Antonin Dvorak, and even some of the film scores from Korngold, who did a lot of film scores in like the 30s and 40s. A lot of, you know, the big, you know, epic adventure type of films like The Adventures of Robin Hood and things like that. I think what John Williams did here was he decided to he was trying to make music like a central theme of the films instead of it just being what accompanies the picture. Now, all of the other Star Wars films from here on out basically use this score as a template. Sometimes they use the same theme, sometimes they just riff on it, but it all sounds like one of a piece. And I think if you're going to do that, this is a pretty good place to start with it, because it sounds very grand, it sounds very epic, it's instantly recognizable if you have seen the movies at all. And I think even knowing that you haven't that you have not seen this film, I think you've probably heard this music in places before.
Of course, the main title I heard.
Oh yeah.
Some of the other stuff, no.
Yeah, that's okay. But like, you know, the main title,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And I still can't get it right.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. So what was your impression as you listened through this?
It felt like I was on a big adventure, but because it was taking so long, mm-hmm. I got distracted easily.
Mm-hmm.
It made me want to see a ballet version of it, even though I think that might not work.
Well, I don't know.
Because whenever I hear like this epic storytelling music like this, I want ballet or dancers or silent movies.
Why ballet?
Because that was my exposure with classical music, mm-hmm. through singing and ballet.
You see, my early exposures to classical music were always things like Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, but they weren't so epic. Because it made me think of, like, Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think of that.
Okay, I think I could see some of that.
Or, like, it made me think of going to the park and hearing the symphony for free in college. I thought of that. So I was longing for it to be like a group listen while we do something, or something interesting to watch, which I guess that's the movie.
Yeah, I suppose it would be.
See, not having seen the movie, I don't have that attachment. I'm just like, I want to watch something.
Well, yeah, because, see, for me, I have seen this film many times, and all of these individual themes and individual tracks on this soundtrack are linked with specific scenes in the film.
Is it in order?
Well, see, here's the thing. I learned while looking this up that this soundtrack has been re-released several times in different formats, and many of those releases are not exactly the same. Some cues and some themes are missing off of some of them. Some of them are in slightly different order. So I don't remember specifically, and depending on where you were listening, you might have heard a slightly different track list.
You know, I might have.
And that's okay, because I think for this, we're not really talking so much about specific tracks, unless you have been watching for the names and know something that you want to bring up specifically.
No, I didn't even want to attempt it once I realized what was going on.
So I'm looking at releases here, and we see that the original release in 1977 was on the 20th Century label. Makes sense, because the original film was released by 20th Century. It was that same soundtrack, that same one, was released on CD in 1986 by Polydor. The version I have in my personal collection is actually part of the original soundtrack anthology from 1993. And then since it's been released again by different labels in 1997, in 2004, in 2007, in 2016, and 17, and 18, and they're not all the same. I mean, they come from the same recording sessions, but of course, the nature of these things being done is, you know, they might have recorded each theme, each track, you know, a dozen times, and subsequently, each of these releases might have used different takes. Looks like it's a bit discombobulated as far as, you know, which tracks are on which release. But you will get the major things. I actually wound up not even listening to the CD version that I've got, and I just picked it up on YouTube Music just because it was more convenient, which is likely the last release from 2018 off of Walt Disney Records.
So then we listen to the same one.
Then we probably listen to the same one.
Is this one that you can break up into, like, individual songs that you would play again, or...?
I can think of instances where I might use particular tracks, like the Cantina Band theme. I could see using that in particular instances, but for the most part, if I want to listen to the music from Star Wars, I'm just gonna put it on and just listen to the whole thing.
Okay. So now I don't feel crazy. No, you don't have to feel crazy. Imagine breaking this up.
There are some scores where I might like particular cues more than others and only want to listen to those things. But I think this works better if you just take it as like a big chunk. And that's mainly just because you don't put on a movie and just go to, like, you know, chapter 13 and watch one scene and turn it off. Or at least I don't. Was there anything that you heard on there that you didn't like? And I know this is a hard question because you probably weren't really paying attention to, like, track titles and things like that.
I wasn't. I mean, I do enjoy classical music, so there wasn't anything that I didn't like. It was so long. It's so long. I had to remind myself that in the movies, they don't play whole songs. And I'm like, because my first thought was, did this play throughout the entire movie? Because this is a lot of music. But I know it didn't, because that's not how it works, Andrea. So yeah, nothing stuck out. It was just so long, so long.
The movie itself is about 2 hours long. John Williams recorded about 88 minutes worth of score for it. And the first release of the soundtrack had about 75 of those 88 minutes. Most of the film had at least some of this score behind it. Also considering that some of these pieces were used a couple times in the film, so it's not totally a one-to-one comparison.
What about you? You got any gripes?
See, that's difficult for me, because there is no way I can separate this from the film, and even though Star Wars is not my number one space-based sci-fi franchise, I do still very much enjoy it. The soundtrack, this score, is one of the main reasons I am still very much attached to the film in the first place. You know, if we were going back and dealing with, like, some sort of minimalist or modernist film score, the film would not have aged as well as it does, and I don't think it would still be remembered as well as it is.
True that, because the music reaches people like me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you think this is one where we can even really issue a verdict, or do we have to kind of just never mind on that one this time?
Ooh, are you wanting to cop out?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking. Do you think you can give a verdict?
I mean, I probably always can, because there's no rhyme or reason to my numbers if we haven't noticed.
You know what? I don't believe that. I think you have been, for the most part, remarkably consistent pairing up a number with all the feelings that you have given before it.
Do you have a rating?
No, you have to go first. That's the rules.
Oh, I thought we were deciding if we were going to do it or not.
Nope, sorry, I think we've just decided we are.
Oh, some biscuits, okay. My feelings are so... 7 is the first number that came to my head, because it's acceptable, it's enjoyable, it's long, and I want the visuals, even if they're not the ones that it came with.
Fair enough. As a standalone score, I think I can go with an 8. I'm sure there will be people out there who hear this and go, Peter, what the hell? But the real magic in my head is the combination of the score and the visuals and how well they complement each other. If we're doing that, then okay, 9. In some you know, slices, there might even be 10s in there. But if we're doing just a score on its own, I'm comfortable giving this an 8.
Yeah, and this wouldn't have me, like, in my heavy feels much either. Mm-hmm. Which, that's a part of this kind of music that I really enjoy, is how I get emotional with it, and I just wasn't...
I think once we pair that with the film, I think you can start to appreciate where the feels might come in. Hey, Google. Give me a number between 1 and 2095.
1,669.
We are going to be listening to El Rey Bravo by Tito Puente.
Oh, more of him.
What do you mean, more of him?
Didn't we already listen to Tito?
We did. Yeah, that was one of our earlier episodes, actually. We listened to Mambo Birdland.
I remember. Because I remember driving down the highway listening to it.
And that is great driving music. All right, El Rey Bravo by Tito Puente. And that's our show on Diggin' with Peter and Dre for this time. Please rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening through, and feel free to leave a voice message on our page at anchor.fm. There'll be a link in the show description. Thank you to Dre, to our editor, Anita, and to you for joining us. Until next time, be good to your music. It's been good to you.